Robert Goldenkopf's director of strategic issues at the Government Accountability Office and testifying to the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce, Postal Service, and Census. And Robert, it's great to have you back on the program today. You talked about at this hearing the 8 attributes of a modern effective classification system and the body of work that you and your colleagues at GAO have done on the federal workforce. You pointed out very early in your testimony that human capital management in the government is on and has been on the GAO's high-risk list. Why is that? What are the challenges that the government's dealing with overall that keeps human resources on the high-risk list, Robert?
Well, you're correct. I mean, it has been on GAO's high-risk list for a long time. We first designated human capital management as a high-risk area in 2001. And then over the years, Congress, OPM, and agencies have made progress on several fronts in improving the federal human capital management. For example, Congress has provided agencies with various flexibilities to better manage the federal workforce and make it a more attractive employer. OPM has taken steps to, for example, streamline the federal hiring process, and OPM has also made various tools and training available to federal agencies. But it remains a high-risk area because, for one thing, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. Closing mission-critical skill gaps is a key example of that.
One of the things that you discussed in regarding a new classification system is the job classifications, and we'll discuss that in a little bit. One of the things that strikes me, though, is when former OPM Director John Berry came into office at the beginning of the Obama administration, my colleague Mike Causey points out he proposed a three tiered system as opposed to a 15 or 16 tiered system, depending if you want to include SES in there or not. And he had the Obama administration behind him. He had a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, and that proposal went nowhere fast. What do you think is driving all of the interest in the federal workforce and the way that the system is structured now when we're certainly not in that same political environment?
Well, at a very high level, there's growing recognition that there's a direct relationship between the federal personnel system and the performance of federal agencies. I mean, it may not sound very exciting when we talk about some of these issues, whether it's the GS system or performance management or pay, but there is a relationship between those very functional areas and responsive and cost-effective government.
You outlined 8 key attributes of a modern effective classification system, testified about them. What are some of the key ones that you highlighted in your testimony to this committee?
Well, some of them, the key ones include things like flexibility, adaptability, simplicity. And if you look at the way the current system is designed, it has many of those attributes, if not all of those attributes, to some degree. The issue is in implementation, and, you know, in trying to satisfy one attribute, it works against another attribute. For example, simplicity. We have the different grade levels, and that helps create some simplicity, but at the same time, it also acts against transparency. And so going forward, it'll be important for different stakeholders to come together and look at the current system, look at alternative approaches that have been tried over the years, and really assess the extent to, you know, how to basically optimize these different attributes.
Now, I look at the hearing dais that you were on in the Oversight Committee last week, and it was Catherine Archuleta, the OPM director, Dan Devine, a former OPM director. You were there representing the GAO. J. David Cox of AFGE was there representing not just his union, but the labor portion of the federal workforce community. Pat Niehaus of the Federal Managers Association. Do you think the right people are involved in this conversation to come to the kind of conclusion or change, at least, that you're suggesting?
The right people are involved. It's certainly the right kinds of organizations. I mean, you have OPM there as the leader of the personnel system in the federal government. CHECO Council needs to get involved. The Chief Human Capital Officers Council needs to get involved. Labor unions, a number of think tanks have weighed in on different aspects of the personnel system. But I think a key issue is that that human capital community is fragmented. And one of the things that we've recommended in a report that we issued in May would be that it would be important for OPM to strengthen its leadership and coordination of this human capital community. A key thing that OPM could do is develop a government-wide human capital strategic plan. And basically that would be a roadmap laying out things like it would lay out priorities, time frames, and metrics, and it would better align the efforts of this entire human capital community. Doesn't necessarily mean that everybody should be doing the same thing. It just would help ensure that we're all at least looking at some of the same things and weighing in on some of the same things.
Robert Goldenkopf of the Government Accountability Office testifying on the federal workforce at a hearing last week of the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce, Postal Service, and Census. And you brought up something in your testimony, Robert, that I've heard, I think, a lot more often than I would have ever expected if we talked about it a couple of years ago. And that is that the budget situation that agencies are in right now are creating openings for them to do things that they wouldn't have done otherwise. Is that, or should that be maybe, a reason for hope that they'll take on some of these improvements that are maybe a little more distasteful than agencies would like them to be, but they'll do them anyway if there's a possibility they can save some money?
Yeah, well, with any difficult situation or with any challenge, it brings about opportunities. And that was one of the encouraging things that we heard from the chief human capital officers that we spoke with over the last year or so, is this acknowledgement that they could start working together. And, for example, there was a lot of talk about enterprise solutions, basically coming up with shared approaches to common problems.
The GEAR framework, the Goals, Engagement, Accountability, Results framework, was piloted in 2011. You talked about this in your testimony. A lot of fanfare around it was my takeaway. And I struggled to find a whole lot of discussion and conversation around it in government since the pilot. You testified to the committee that OPM says they're working with the Chico Council to promote it, but it's not really clear who else is working on it beyond the five agencies that piloted it originally. Is that a potential difference maker, or is that just something that is still early enough because of the pilot program and not much activity since that we don't know how much potential effectiveness it could have in at least getting some of this restructuring going?
Well, it certainly has a lot of potential. If you look at the GEAR framework itself, it's certainly consistent with some of the key elements of a effective performance management system that we identified. For example, linking individual performance to organizational results. But you are correct in that additional agencies beyond those initial five have not really adopted it. Now, OPM will say that, well, those practices are getting out there. We would like to see more of that and better evidence that those practices are, in fact, getting out there and agencies are implementing them.
One final thought about this hearing in particular and the conversation about the general schedule in general, Robert. I sense, as we talked about earlier, a growing consensus that the general schedule needs help, but that seems to be about the extent of where the agreement is. Is your takeaway from this hearing that I have a fair assessment going there? Because I sense that Chairman Fahrenthold is very open to changes. Ranking Member Lynch, of course, has been studying this issue for many years, and he would like to see changes, but that's kind of where it seems to end. Senator Tester's bill on the Senate side looks different than any of the discussions that went on in this hearing. So it seems like we're kind of, that's the point we're at. Am I on the right track there, do you think?
That's a correct assessment. The GAO has said essentially that the system is antiquated. But at the same time, this is why we laid out those attributes. It's just important for all the players to get together to assess their current system, the general schedule, look at alternatives, and see how best to optimize each one of those attributes. And, you know, the weight that you put on each one of those attributes, that will ultimately determine the final design of the system. And so, you know, whether or not it's wholesale reform is needed or tweaks here and there, that's really a function of these conversations that needs to take place among the stakeholders. But at least what we tried to do was at least lay out a framework to start that dialogue going.